Near the top of the list of things most of us are afraid of, not including nuclear war or public speaking, are snakes. They tend to be slimy and slithery, and some of them are extremely dangerous, with venom that could hurt, and in some cases, kill humans. Now, for some reason, Zoltan Takacs is not only unafraid of snakes, they've actually become a major part of his career. He'll be talking about that tonight at 7:30 at the Mesa Arts Center as part of the National Geographic Live Speaker Series. His presentation is called Deadliest Lifesavers, and he's with me to talk about it. So, Zoltan, you've got a lot of great stories about some of the many nations you've traveled to and some of the scary situations you've been in, and we'll get to those. But first, what's the process of finding a venomous snake or other creature and getting to the point of developing a medicine?
To make a drug from a venom, it takes a long time. It could be anything between 10 to 25 years. So this is a long process. What we're doing, I'm a pharmacologist. So what I'm doing, I'm traveling the world looking for these deadly creatures, getting the genetic blueprint for their toxins, bring back that tissue sample to the lab, and we create the largest toxin libraries in the world. These toxin libraries are biased for a particular disease target, and we screen these libraries, which could hold like up to a million or more toxin variants. We screen these toxin libraries that out of these many variants, which one would be the best candidate to make it into a possible future medication. It's, again, as I said, it's a very long process, but you must go to nature to find these creatures because there is no other way. You can't recreate them in the lab without knowing the blueprint, what nature was working on for millions of years. These toxins have been evolving actually for hundreds of millions of years, perfecting in order for the snake or scorpion or spider to be able to immobilize or kill prey or predator in less than 1 minute.
Do you actually have to go out on these adventures that you do? Because as good as you are, obviously you're great in the lab as well. Do you feel like you need to be there as the leader of these? Because with some of the things I've seen of you online, you're putting yourself in very, very dangerous territory. You even have a line in one presentation that something like the actual catching of the snake is not the most dangerous part of the trip.
I travel the whole world. I've been to 170 countries. And what I'm doing, I'm establishing contacts with local scientists and other experts to enable the genetic blueprint of the toxins to come back to our hands, to our labs. Of course, you know, alone, I would be never be able to catch the 150,000 venomous species what there are in the world. Again, that's a 150,000 venomous animal species. Snakes are only a very tiny fraction. So when I'm traveling, I'm working with these local colleagues and train them how to get the genetic blueprint, and that comes back to the lab to us, and then we sequence it, and now we're holding something in our hand, which is, wow, this nature was working on these toxins for millions of years. Now let's screen them, which one could be a potential new medications for like autoimmune disorder, cancer, chronic pain, and so on.
Well, so what are some of the practical success stories that have happened now? If people were to hear a certain medication, are there medications we may have even heard of that were helped develop by this?
Yeah, it's today we have about 20 different medications used in Western medicine, which are originated from animal venoms. And here we're sitting in the middle of Arizona. The Gila monster, this wonderful lizard, is the source of a major medication for the treatment of diabetes. There are other medications. For example, for the most lethal types of heart attacks, there are three drugs of choice. Two of them are coming from snake venom. One is coming from the pygmy rattlesnake, and one is coming from the carpet viper from the Arabian Peninsula and South Asia.
How many times have you been stung, bitten by one of these dangerous creatures?
I was bitten 7.5 times.
7.5 times.
And the half time is for a spitting cobra spot in my face. I was lucky it didn't spot in my eyes, because then you could get into real trouble. But I was spot in the lower part of my face. But all 7.5 is my mistake. And you have to be very careful because I'm...
Zoltan, some would say your mistake was actually going near them in the first place, but that's just me.
Yeah, but you know, listen, this is a childhood passion. I live my childhood passion. I live my dream. I love every day I wake up and I say, gee, I like what I'm doing. Of course, there is plenty of paperwork, which I would be very happy to do without. But right. All of them were my mistake. And if you get bitten, that shows that you're still on the learning curve.
Is there anyone that stands out to you in particular, the one where you thought, well, this is even more dangerous, this is actually scary to me, that maybe the next time I won't want to do this?
Well, the biggest problem, so one of the last snake bite I had was coming from a rear fanged snake, it's technically a venomous snake. Mm-hmm. You know, that's we only count venomous snake bites. So it's technically a venomous snake, but it would pose practically no harm for the average person who is not allergic to the snake venom. I get such a bad allergic reaction in the middle of the Amazon. So I was there with two friends of mine, and so we had to rush out with the boat to the closest hospital, which was a number of hours away, into Manaus. So I was thinking, well, you know, am I really stupid here? You know, in the middle of the Amazon, am I going to die? And it would be very lame to be killed by this snake, which is barely qualifies even for a venomous snake. So I have to be careful. I mean, literally, if I would get bitten by a non-venomous snake, just the saliva could potentially may trigger an allergic reaction. Mm. But I love what I'm doing. So I'm trying to do every reasonable precautions. I use very high tech gear, you know, catching snakes. Like I cut a stick and I use that stick from the tree, you know, to catch the snake, or I go to Home Depot and buy a glove. So I do all of the precautions, but again, I love what I'm doing. So if what else I can do?
What's the reaction you get from people when they find out what your research is about and what you've got there with you?
First, I don't think they believe me that I'm a snake catcher. They think, is he a spy or is he a crazy person?
Well, that could be the same thing.
Well, yes, but so let's say I'm in a Pacific Ocean trying to catch a sea snake, and you know I tell the boatman, listen, can I hire your boat for a couple of days because we're going to looking for sea snakes? He starts to think, well, he's crazy. You know, he's probably a fisherman, but you know, just like whatever, want to see sea snakes. But when he actually sees me to jumping, you know, for catching a sea snake into the ocean, I think he's convinced that this guy is really, really crazy. Once they start to see you handling the snake and getting tissue sample from the snake, so they sort of understand that, okay, so there is a bigger picture here.
That is Zoltan Takacs. He will be speaking at the Mesa Arts Center tonight at 7:30 as part of the National Geographic Live Speaker Series. His presentation is called Deadliest Lifesavers. Zoltan, good to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.